Welcome back to Two Blondes, One Pod. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Haley.
Happy Monday. Thanks so much for being here. It's been a weird couple of weeks. There's not much I can say.
But strange things are happening.
This coming week is also going to be weird. It's Rowan's first day of school this week. First day of school ever. I know.
That's kind of a hard one. Like, I did not expect it to be hard sending Vivi to school for the first time, but it was. Like, I appreciated, you know, the time where I had one last child around, but also, like, it's just, like, such a big milestone in seeing them grow up.
No, her first day is Tuesday, and I have, like, so many things I need to prep for her first day of school already.
Oh, do you?
Yes, I have to do, like, a all about me bag, and I'm supposed to put, like, three or four things in it that are, like, important to her or whatever, and I'm just like, what is important to a three-year-old? Like, what am I putting in that bag for her?
Vivi would put a piece of pizza.
No, put- literally tonight I was asking her, I'm like, what do you think we should put in the bag? She's like, a donut. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so we'll get a donut from the play kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm like, and what else? Like, I don't really want her taking, like, her lovey to school.
Yeah, risky business.
Yeah, it is risky business, you know, but
yeah.
So anyway, if anyone has any ideas, please help. I mean, by the time this comes out,
yeah,
probably you'll have one night. Yeah, probably be too late, but yeah, I am not coming up with that many great ideas, so please help.
Does she, like, what does she play with? Like,
yeah,
does she like read?
Yeah.
Could she bring, like,
put, like, a favorite book or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Hard.
It is hard.
Gotta do something Taylor Swift.
I know. Just, like, making it my thing. Like, and then you're going to bring your Taylor Swift book, and you're going to bring your favorite Taylor Swift album, and you're going to... It's all Taylor Swift. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. Anyway, that's my life update is I am going to be sad this week. I really haven't really thought twice about preschool, like, the whole year, and then this last week I was like, oh my gosh, is she big?
Just kind of crept up on you.
Yeah,
it'll be nice to have some one-on-one time with Ivy though.
No, she'll be napping.
Oh, so have some one-on-one time with yourself.
Have
fantastic.
Some one-on-one
fantastic, even better.
I know. Yeah, no, it's during Ivy's nap time, and so it's great. Really just me, which will be nice. Yeah. Can't complain too much.
Line up nicely for you.
Yeah. But what about you? What's going on?
Yeah. I am just prepping to go to Chicago this weekend. Mm-hmm. So very excited about that. Going with one of my best friends, Bailey. And yeah, we just have, like, a list of yummy food to eat, sights to see. I've been to Chicago once before and I love Chicago so much. It is so clean.
Oh,
so much cleaner than New York, like eons cleaner than New York. And I, like, never felt unsafe there. Like, I don't know, big city, like, you are kind of like, oh, like, no, like, I never felt unsafe there. And just, like, yeah, fun things to see. They have a huge Starbucks Reserve there. It's like a 4-story, I think, Starbucks. It's so amazing. And they always have, like, their drinks that they don't release until, like, usually a few months or, like, even a year later. So that's really fun. But yeah, we're just going to go do all the touristy things and, you know, maybe sleep in a little. just enjoy the time away from our children.
Very important.
Yeah.
What or how many nights?
Just two.
Oh, just two.
Yeah. So we fly in on a Friday and then.
Little weekend getaway.
Yes. Yeah. We fly in on a Friday. We'll get there by, like, 1 o'clock and then we'll have all day Saturday. And our flight on Sunday doesn't leave until, like, 8 o'clock at night.
Okay, so most of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be so fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be perfect timing. And then my kids both have back to school this next week as well. So little Kale going back to school. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is crazy.
Little Kale,
like, and truly, if you have seen Kale in person, he is little. So I'm, like, so excited just to, like, see him next to all the other kids because I already know he's going to be, like, a head shorter. Because he always is.
He's such a little chicken nugget.
He is. He is. I love him so much. And, but yeah, Vivi's so excited to go to school. She's like, only two more sleeps. Like, she's so excited.
Is she going Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes Monday. Kale goes Tuesday. So yeah, I'm really excited. Their school seems great. And yeah, I'm really excited for them. I'm, like, interested to see if I'll be sad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, like driving Vivi's away.
Gone to school
before. Vivi went to school. Yeah. She went a little bit last year, but I didn't end up liking the school, so I pulled her out. But the year before, actually, when she was...
Wait, was it the school I'm thinking of?
The one that's close to your house?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't love them either.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when she was actually 2.5, so Kale's age, she went to school for 6 months before we moved back to Utah County in St. George.
Oh, yeah. St. George.
Yeah. So she's gone before, but she's so excited. She loved her teacher. And yeah. Cute. So I'm really excited for her. I just think she's going to really flourish.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do they do a lot of field trips where she's going to school?
I actually have no idea. I've never even asked.
The school I'm taking Rowan to does a field trip every single month.
Oh.
Can you believe that?
Wow. Like, do you have to go too? Or like, are you going to go? I'd be kind of nervous to not go, to be honest.
I think it most, if not all of them, like requires someone to go, like have, you know, someone go with each child. So.
Oh, okay. I mean, that makes sense. It's so many little.
Yeah.
Human beings. So
yeah,
so. I have no idea. That is like a really good question. I'm like, should ask that.
I know. I just thought that was kind of overwhelming. I was like, oh, once a month? Well, it'll be fun. Whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
It'll be fun, but it's also kind of like, I thought I was taking a break. You mean there's a requirement for me?
I know. I'm like, what am I going to do when both my kids are in preschool?
Yeah.
Anyway.
They do not have the stay-at-home mom in mind, do they? Interesting. Well, good. Well, we will give you guys the update on how school goes and how we do next episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about pop culture? What do you have?
Okay. So I feel like we need to just talk Bachelor in general. I feel like there's a decent amount of things that came out Bachelor wise this last week. Okay. So, well, first off, I haven't watched this most recent episode of The Bachelorette. But I know like all the spoilers.
Yeah.
And I know who went home. And at this point, we all know who the new Bachelor is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so what are your thoughts on Grant?
I just feel like Grant has just like disappeared into the backdrop for me this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, to be fair though, most of the guys have. Like, there's only a few that I'm like, okay, like, I feel really like stand I kind of know that person. Yeah. You know, Grant is not one of those people. So I was like really surprised because I'm like, what? Like, number one, they just announced it so early.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Which is really weird. Why?
I don't know.
Why not wait until after the final rose at least?
I don't know.
That was a weird decision.
I also feel like it just causes more of an uproar because then people are like, oh, well, let's just say like they really loved Jonathan. And let's say if Jonathan goes home, but they're like, oh, but you already chose Grant. Like, you didn't even give Jonathan a chance. You know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like it's better for them to announce it after the final rose because it's just kind of less drama.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, I just think it's, I would love to just know like their reasonings why.
I know. It's giving Jen. It's giving like, I don't know. When Jen was announced as the Bachelorette, she was not someone I was excited about.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just kind of like, oh, like Jen is cute.
Yeah.
I'd know nothing about her.
Yeah.
Interesting decision. It's just kind of weird. Like, don't you feel like lately all the people that they cast as the Bachelor or Bachelorette are just kind of like uninteresting people. Like, that's how I felt with Clayton and Zach and Charity. The only one I was really excited for was Joey.
Yeah.
But then it's
and
like.
And that was such an amazing
and
season.
It was so good. Yeah, yeah. So, so good. And all the girls and were so good.
He's like America's sweetheart. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, he is like, everyone was emotionally attached to Joey before his season even started.
He was such a good choice.
Yeah.
And I know that like, I mean, not to be like rude, but I know Jen was probably not like their first choice. And Grant honestly probably was not either.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like getting what they can take.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like the picks for Bachelor and Bachelorette have just been like a big miss lately. And
I agree.
I mean, I am like enjoying Jen as the Bachelorette. I will say she's been
more
like a
than
pleasant,
I thought.
Yeah, a pleasant surprise to me. And so hopefully Grant will too. I just listened to the episode of the Vile Files they had Grant on.
Okay.
And like, it was nice to listen to it because I was like, oh, like, good. I'm glad I can like actually know a few things about you.
Was he like well spoken?
Yeah, he's well spoken. He just seems like, a nice guy.
Just kind of like relaxed, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just seems like a nice guy. So,
and I did like him
down
on his
one-on-one. Yeah, I'm down for him. I think he's fine. He's just, you know, he's, yeah. I just don't think he's like top tier pick, but yeah. I think he's fine and he'll probably yeah. be great and whatever.
Hopefully he'll get the Bachelor glow up where, you know, they yeah. start airing the season and they're like, okay, like actually now he's being styled mm-hmm. and
you know what? They'll probably have him on after the final rose and he probably will like look super hot.
You know what? That's a good prediction. I think so too. Yeah. I think we'll see that episode and be like, okay, actually maybe we are excited.
Yeah, but it is a yeah. weird choice for them to announce it so early because The Bachelor doesn't even start until like January. I know. Ever, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Grant is The Bachelor. Wow, great. Do you know when
Jones season premieres?
I think September.
Okay. So that's gonna be coming out soon. We'll get to chat about that.
Yes. Let's talk about our sexy men because they were hot.
I was dying. Chelsea sends me this reel and it's like, she's like, why are all of Jones' men hotter than Jen's? And I'm like, literally, facts. They're all daddies.
All daddies.
I especially love Kelsey's dad.
Kelsey's dad is so cute. I think
he is the cutest. The cutest.
Let's see how long he makes it though. Like, I remember when Matt Jones's mom, Matt?
Yes.
No, Jones?
Matt.
What's his last name? No, it's not. That does not sound right. I'm like, Matt James.
James. That's what
Matt
it is.
James. When Matt James' yeah. mom was on uh-huh. Gary's season and yeah. she went home like what, first night or whatever yeah. it was. Let's just hope Kelsey's yeah. dad sticks around.
I know. I kind of like am wondering if he's being set up to be the Golden Bachelor because he's already like an America's favorite. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how this experience treats him. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe he'll be the Golden Bachelor because I would love that.
Yeah. People would love. And you know, they're yeah. going to have Kelsey and Joey.
Oh yeah.
Well, maybe not, I guess, if he doesn't make it too far, but yeah, we'll see.
That's true.
Yeah. So yeah, I thought her men were pretty good looking. I was
yeah
also I'm pleasantly
happy for
surprised.
Her yeah very happy for her.
Yeah. And then what did we think of, well, I have not watched again, yeah. but I know you've watched this mm-hmm. episode of The Bachelorette. What were your thoughts overall?
Yeah, it was actually like one of the better episodes of the season, in my opinion. I was absolutely.
I need to watch then.
You need to watch. I was absolutely appalled by Sam's behavior. I mean, when have I not been? But like, especially this episode, mm-hmm. it was horrific. Like, so basically, they're on this like talk show, and it's a group date, and all the men are like answering these questions that the talk show hosts are giving them, and they're just answering them with like so much love and admiration for Jen and like so many nice thoughtful things. And then it gets to Sam and he just literally can't say one nice thing about her or explain in any way why he's apparently in love with her.
That was the question?
Yeah.
Like, what do you like about her?
I can't remember exactly how the question was formatted, but mm-hmm. yeah, like all of them were kind of asked like, what is special about Jen type okay. of a vibe. And like, he literally was just like, I just am looking for a ferocious love like Jen. And I just trust in this process. And it's like, okay. And then he goes on to say like, okay, well, they were like, all the other guys go out. We think Sam needs more airtime with Jen. So he gets this one-on-one time with her. All the other guys are watching mm-hmm. from a monitor in the other room. And they're just like roasting Sam because he literally can't make a like complete sentence. And he just sounds so stupid. And like, they asked Sam something and all the men were like, I could answer that like that. But Sam like can't do it. And then basically he just like proceeds to say that like, he thought that The Bachelorette was going to be Daisy or Maria. And that when he stepped out of the limo, he like saw that Jen wasn't his type. Yeah, he
said
literally
she
said
wasn't his type.
Yeah, you're not my usual type.
And is that when she sent him home?
Was on no, the date? So then she was just kind of like taken aback.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and then she like at like the more formal part of the date, you know, cocktail formal part of the date, she kind of says at the beginning, she's like, I was really taken aback by like a conversation I had and I just need to know more. And then Sam just like professes his like actual undying love for her instead of taking any accountability or being able to answer any of her questions. He's just like, because I love you. She's like, I'm not asking you if you love me. I'm asking you, can you tell me one reason why you're choosing me over anyone else on this earth? Why you want to spend your life with me? Literally could not answer. Because I love you. It's like, no, she's asking you to describe her. Basically, she's just like, you do not know me at all. You are just here to like I don't know what for, but not to like actually get to know me. You're just here for the experience, basically, you know? And so then she doesn't send him home until right before the cocktail party and the rose ceremony.
Okay.
Yeah. So she goes and like shows up at the hotel. It's so dramatic. Where's Sam? You know what I mean? And then like, again, like same thing. She just was like, even like on her way to see Sam, she was like, if he can just like say like things that he appreciates about me and like, I believe it, then like, I'll keep him. Like, I really like him.
Yeah.
But he couldn't. And so good for her for being like, okay, that was not enough. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Yeah. He gives Luke P energy.
He does.
Just so douchey. So douchey, self-absorbed. Yes. Yeah. Villainous. And it's so funny that they make it so far. I mean, Luke P made it to hometowns, I think. Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to see him gone. I honestly thought he was going to make it to like top three.
Yeah.
Like she seems like she's really into him.
And I think she really is. And I think that's like why I have like more admiration for her, because I'm like, it is really hard when you're like really into someone.
Yeah.
But you're just like, this is not right for me. And to like actually like take action. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like that was probably really hard for her. But I just think it was that like initially she had that attraction to him, which sucks to hear that he did not. But I do feel like they had a very instant like chemistry and like sexual chemistry. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that probably like propelled things forward quicker, because they literally like had a 10-minute makeout sesh night one and he got the first impression rose, right?
Didn't he? Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And so I just feel like that's what she was probably like holding on to. But then it's like, yeah, at the end of the day, like she has so many other men that said so many nice things about her. I just think it made it more apparent, you know?
Yeah, I need to watch. But yeah, we have our top four. So, yeah. I mean, okay, so when this episode comes out, it'll be hometowns, right?
Yes, hometowns, okay, yeah, which so I always love.
Yeah, I mean,
it's one of my favorite episodes.
The rest of the season is gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, hometowns, overnights, like everything is good after this point. So
yeah,
we have Jeremy.
Yep.
Jonathan, which I never thought I would say this, but I am finding Jonathan so hot.
He's doing something for you.
Yeah. I just think he's so hot.
I do too.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think he's very, very cute.
Yeah. He's so cute. And then Devin and Marcus.
Yep.
Yeah. We're the final four. So yeah.
Which, oh, I just cannot look at Marcus the same after his like sexual assault
allegations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like, it was very hard for me to watch him this last episode. And yeah, like unfortunate if those are not true allegations, because I already look at him differently.
I think.
But I think they're pretty like, I think they're true.
I mean, whoever came out with those, whether it was like an ex-girlfriend or whatever, said she
has
like
receipts.
So many receipts.
Yeah. And so, I wonder like what's holding her back from sharing those. But like, I mean, I'm sure she'll kind of be forced to share them at some point.
I know. It's just so discouraging, because I mean, I said it before, Marcus was the only guy I gave a crap about.
I know.
Like the only one.
Yeah, no, I don't give two shits about him.
Yeah, but if he's an abuser, then we don't care.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting to see how his hometown goes. But I think I'm actually most excited for Devin's hometown, because I'm just so curious who he comes from.
Yeah.
Who raised you? What are your people like?
His mom is Pete Davidson. His dad is Scooter Braun.
Yeah.
And
Yep. Exactly.
Will be interesting.
Can't wait to see. Do you know where he's from?
No.
I don't remember any of them are from. Actually.
I never look at where they're from.
Yeah.
I always just look at like their career.
Yeah, their career. Anyway, so that'll be really exciting. Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to chat about that next week.
It will be very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else for pop culture?
Okay. I just have super, super sad Matthew Perry. Come out about like his death recently. 5 people are under arrest.
Okay, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I think I saw 4, but 5 now?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So,
well, who is it? Because it was the assistant, for sure.
Yes, 2 assistants.
Okay, 2 assistants.
There are 2 assistants and 2 doctors. And then also, they call her like the ketamine queen, and she's like a drug dealer.
Okay.
She's under arrest. So, yeah, 5 people currently. And it's just so sad. I just am like, it's just sad because he like battled drug addiction, you know, like most of his adult life, and then just like find these things out, and just like such an abuse of power on, you know, especially like his doctors. Yeah, I don't know. It's just really sad.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really sad.
It's very sad. Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Yeah, yeah. Chandler Bing is my favorite Friends character.
He's such a good one.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think who I would say is my favorite Friends character. I love Friends so much. I'm one of those people. I love it.
I'm Chandler Bing and Rachel Green.
Yeah. I love Rachel so much too. Yeah. I just think, honestly, the person that makes me laugh the most, and don't judge me, is Ross.
Was Ross?
Yeah. I just think like.
I don't judge. I love them all.
I just think I love them like. All. Like it just literally gets me every time. Every
no, I love it.
Time. But yeah, I think I would have to pick Rachel Green if I had to choose like my favorite one.
She's so
just
good.
Like so iconic.
It's so hard though, because also Monica and Phoebe are amazing too.
And so is Joey. And yes. Joey's such like a lover. Like I love him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also good. Also
yeah.
good.
Love Friends.
But yeah, R.I.P. Matthew Perry is very sad.
So, so sad. And then the only other thing that I had, which is like very hot topic right now, is just the Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively drama.
Okay, you have to. I don't know all of the details.
Yeah.
I'm not like up to date on that.
Yeah.
Movie. I haven't read the book. Not up to date on the drama. So fill me in. I mean, I keep seeing things all over, but.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is it's just not looking great for Blake right now.
Okay.
She is not, the media is not in her favor right now.
I heard, though, that, like, everyone unfollowed
Justin,
but yes. He follows everyone.
I don't know if he follows everyone. Maybe he does.
Like from the cast.
But what I've, part of the, like, theory behind that is just that, like, people would rather like stay on Blake's good side.
Okay.
That she kind of gives like mean girl energy. People that have worked with her in the past.
I'm just not buying it.
I know.
She is Taylor Swift's bestie.
I know.
Not buying
but
it.
I mean, people say the same thing about Taylor Swift. You know what
I'm
mean?
I'm not buying it.
Yeah. And so I will say though, you know, regardless of whether like Blake was difficult to work with or whether she threw fits because she didn't get the final say in, you know, a position where a director gets the final say, which was Justin, not her. That's like a rumor theory floating around. Regardless of all of that and, you know, all of those theories, the one thing that cannot be dismissed, because it's literally like her talking in interviews and like it's not being edited, you know what I mean? Like live interviews, is just that she is like so dismissive of just really like any questions about like the true meaning and purpose behind the book and the movie, which is like shining light on domestic violence. And she just like will never answer a question about that. She's just like, grab your gal pals, wear your florals, come see the movie. And it's like, girl, this is not a rom-com.
Wear your florals.
Yeah, she literally says that. Like, this is not a rom-com. It's not a rom-com.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is a
it's
very
not like
heavy.
A feel good
no,
time.
This
yeah.
is, yes, you do grab your gal pals, but like grab your tissues and make an appointment with your therapist.
Yeah, like it's about like something serious.
Serious. And she is so unserious in all of her interviews. And not only that. But she launched, which she's because she's smart, she launched her hair care at the same time as the movie premiere. Very smart business move. I absolutely stand behind it. However, in the interviews, it always goes back to her hair care line or to fucking Deadpool. And I'm like, Deadpool doesn't need the advertisement. Like, Deadpool stands on its own. Like, stop talking about Deadpool. Like, we know you're the cameo. Like, amazing. I think it's amazing. But it's like, not the time nor the place. Like, no one's asking you about that. They're asking you about your movie and like the importance behind it. So anyway, she just rubbed people the wrong way in a lot of those interviews.
Yeah.
There's so much more to like dive into of like maybe why people don't like Justin and like why maybe he's not the public. Actually, the public stands behind him fully, but maybe the people that worked with him, why they have an issue with him. I have my own theories. But I'm kind of waiting to see like if any of them make statements, because Justin, anytime people have asked in interviews, like, what was it like working with Blake Lively? He's like, she's incredible. Anything that she had her finger on was made better. Mm-hmm. Like, he just is super supportive of her. And so I'm like, is he like gaslighting her, or like, is he like being, or is he just like, she's kind of has the issue with me. Like, I don't really have the issue with her type of a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's very interesting, but yeah, I mean, Justin has a podcast. He's very like openly a Christian man, and I do think the Christian man, you know, regardless of anyone's religious beliefs,
gets like a bad rap.
I do think they get a bad rap these days. And so I kind of wonder if that's maybe part of it. But I've also just heard all of this is just a PR stunt. Because the movie had a lot of flack before it came out. People were not excited about it. They were not excited about Blake playing her or really Justin. They were not excited about the sets, about the clothing being worn. Like, the people who are big fans of the book were ripping apart this movie. And it was getting a lot of, like, I feel like bad PR before it even released. So I kind of am like, maybe they wanted to, like, gain traction. But honestly, anyone who's seen the movie has loved it.
I know. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. I feel like it's getting a lot of love.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it needs a PR stunt. I feel like
it's think it does either.
Doing fine. But I mean, that's sad if there's like so much drama, I guess.
Yeah. And I like both. I like both Justin Baldoni and I love Blake Lively. So it is unfortunate, but I think time will tell. I'm really curious if it will just fizzle or if she will make a statement because she's looking so bad right now.
Yeah. What else has Justin Baldoni been in? Or is he just like a director?
Oh, no.
Or
he's like in Jane the Virgin.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Which is one of my absolute very favorite shows.
Okay. I've seen episodes of Jane the Virgin, but I've never watched it like all the way through.
Yeah, that show's like such a masterpiece in my mind. Okay. He's been in other stuff too. I just can't remember.
That's but like
I
his think big one. He's,
I think so, yeah. And I think he's kind of going into like the more director role, which I feel like they all kind of end up going like directing, producing, like
a lot of people
that
do.
Route. Yeah. At least like the good ones do, kind of seems like. But yeah, so that's kind of all I had on pop culture.
Okay.
What about you?
I thought we could talk about the new Secret Lives of Mormon Wives trailer.
Oh, yeah.
That just came out.
Okay.
I just want to know like your thoughts after seeing it.
I was floored when they were in front of the temple wearing blue trench coats. I was floored. It was giving a Handmaid's Tale. And I literally commented on that. And I was like, this is giving Handmaid's Tale. And it got like 700 likes because I think people agree.
Yeah, they agree.
It's giving Handmaid's Tale. It just cracked me up because I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys are already getting so much shit about having Mormon in your title. And then for you to go film that in front of the temple, like, are you trying to be crucified? Like,
they are though.
Trying to be crucified? But it's funny because I follow Macy and she's just like, I can't believe how much hate I'm getting basically. And I'm like, how can you not believe it? How can you not understand where that is coming from? That I ever agree with like people just being like rude, but it's like, dude, like you got to be understanding of why people would have an issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just listened to the Weekly Trash
episode with Jen.
Mm-hmm, with Jen Affleck.
I listened to clips of it.
Okay. I mean, I didn't know anything about her, so I was like excited to listen, whatever.
Yes. She's the most Mormon of them. Yes. Okay.
Yes, I think so. I mean, she still is not like a garment wearer. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I think she very much active. So, yeah, claims to be LDS.
Yeah.
And she was saying in her interview on that podcast that like her and two other girls, she didn't say names, but they were against the name. Like
Macy's adding one of them because she actually said that on her stories today.
Yeah, she was saying that her and two other girls were like against the name, but they were like, all the other girls were very much like, no, like we love the clickbait. Like, you know, we love
I'm
the name.
Just
like,
guessing Jay-Z Styles girl was fully behind it.
Because
and
she's
Taylor
not
Frankie
even
Bell
LDS.
And Whitney.
Yeah, yeah, sure. You know? No, I actually thought the trailer was really good.
And I thought it was too. It made me excited.
Yeah, same. And I am just like, wow. Like, I mean, and we said it before when we first talked about it. I'm like, you guys coming out with those dumb TikToks, like that was such a miss. Like you guys should have announced
stupid.
With the trailer.
With like, that trailer.
The trailer looks real good.
There's a part in the trailer where it's like, they're like, what are they saying? Like, basically like, oh, like they live like they're from like a different era and like it's tearing the group apart. I think whoever is talking about Jen.
Okay.
So like, oh, they're tearing the group apart. And like they're saying like, oh, they're much more like invested than we are.
Wait, I'm confused though, because are they coming out with two seasons or one?
Okay. So Macy on her stories today said, she was like, someone asked her like, oh, are you going to talk about your like story on season one or like on this, you know, upcoming. And she was like, oh, like I know it got cut from season one, but I'm hoping it will be on for season two. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh,
I think they're coming out with two seasons because in Jen's interview, she was saying that they filmed season one, and I don't think Jen was a part of season one. I could be wrong, but it just, that's like kind of what it sounded like on the podcast.
Okay.
It didn't sound like she was a part of it, but then she said that, so they filmed season one, Taylor's arrest happened, and they were kind of all like, oh, like, what do we do? Like, recast people, you know, because Taylor's like not going to be in it type of thing. And then I feel like, and I could be wrong again, but that's when they cast Jen.
Interesting.
But then Taylor like probably still stays in it. You know what I mean? I'm not sure, but I think they might be releasing two seasons.
Yeah.
So I guess stay tuned. I don't know the details exactly, but we will see. I guess.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I'm excited. I think it's going to be like a fun watch. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I still stand by every negative comment I made last time we talked about it. However, I'm really curious to see if I don't know, like maybe will resonate with them more than I think I will. Or like maybe if they are super open, like maybe it will, I don't know, maybe shed some light on like some maybe more harmful things about like being in Utah as a Utah wife. I still wish they would not have put Mormon in the title. I just think it was dumb. But, you know, maybe some interesting things will come. Maybe some good things. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think it'll be good. Stay tuned. I'm very excited, actually.
I'm very excited, too.
Yeah, I'm just like, why did you guys do those dumb TikToks? Like, you should have just dropped the trailer so to begin stupid. With because yeah, the agreed. Trailer was good.
Very good.
But yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Me
too. I can't wait to just chat.
Me too. Also, one more thing. I just like, Vince would never be on board.
What, with you being on that show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, sure. He would be like, that is a horrible idea. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because pretty much all of them on like separate occasions have said like, oh yeah, like my partner, my husband, whatever. So supportive. I'm like,
yeah, I mean they're just looking for the
good for them, but like
too, honestly,
dude.
It's so funny because, okay, so I know I listen to too many podcasts and I talk about them all, but also on the Weekly Trash, she had Miranda, and I don't know anything about Miranda, but Miranda was a part of the swinging scandal with Taylor.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay. And she had said, Miranda had said in her interview that she was approached by them to be on the show, her and
Camille.
Mm-hmm. And they both were, she's like the whole time, like we were doing interviews and things, she was just like, we both just had like a pit in our stomach, did not feel like it was like
good about it.
Yeah, we did not feel good about it. Did not feel like it was a good thing.
On Hulu's part, because they would have been amazing characters.
It is a miss on Hulu's part, but I think that's like, just shows so much more maturity in them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
She was I had way more respect for her when I
Yeah, well, she's like, that, I ruined my life once. She's like, why would I want to do it again?
Okay, but you know what I don't have respect for is the fact that she denied the swinging up until that episode.
Okay. I mean, I don't know anything about her.
She literally let Taylor Frankie Paul be dragged through the mud and said she had no part of it. Literally went on TikTok live, whatever, Instagram live multiple times. I never was a part of it. Blah, blah, blah. Taylor's lying. Mm-hmm. And then it's like on the Weekly Trash, she finally admitted that she was a part of it. Which, to be honest, if I was a part of something like that, number one, I would never tell a soul. Number two, like, I think it would be hard to just like come out and like admit that. Like, but also she let Taylor be dragged through the mud. And everyone calling Taylor a liar and like all this stuff. But now that her and her husband Chase are divorced, he's actually on a podcast called Only Dads. Okay. And this podcast is very interesting. It has him and it also has, what is his name? The guy who Taylor cheated on her husband with.
Okay. I have no idea.
What is his name? Shoot. They are like the main hosts and they talk about how that situation like literally ruined their marriages and like kind of ruined their lives. And now they're both like dating different people and like have moved on from it. But it's like really interesting that Chase and Miranda like all of a sudden are like, yeah, it happened.
Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, maybe they've just come to a mutual agreement that they can talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the last thing I'll say. It does annoy me in the trailer how all, I mean, I think it's like Michaela, I'm trying to just like get to know them.
She's
know
like very bleach blonde in the trailer.
Yes.
Okay.
But she says like, I don't know, just is like, yeah, like, I mean, all just started swinging. Like everyone just started swinging together. And it annoys me because it's like, actually, no one in the cast was in a part of the swinging group except for Taylor.
Yeah.
And it annoys me because it's like, okay, maybe you were a part of Mom Talk. Maybe you were making videos, but you weren't a part of the swinging scandal.
Right.
So it annoys me that they're like, it's almost like a cool girl group to be a part of the swinging scandal. And they all want to act like they were a part of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
do you know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
It's just like, why is that like the cool girl group? But it is because it's like, that's what made everyone famous.
I bet it's what gave them their fame.
Yes. But I bet you anything, all of those girls, like, not like hate Taylor, but they're like all so jealous of her.
Oh, for sure.
Like so jealous that she is like the main one, most known, the one that was in the swinging scandal. Like they're probably all just like, why wasn't that me? I should have done that.
Yeah. I mean, she was famous overnight, really.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah,
crazy. It'll Can't be wait.
Good. Yeah. It will be very good. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Me too. It'll be good.
Okay. Well, that's the last thing I had for pop culture. So
perfect.
Should we get into the episode?
Let's do it.
Okay. So today we are talking about something oh so fun. We are talking about friendship breakups. And friendship breakups are a little bit of a sensitive subject. But also like, I don't know, just so necessary.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And also really hard to navigate. So
yeah,
we kind of just wanted to talk about them a little bit today.
Yeah.
Share our experiences. And we had actually like a decent amount of write-ins and things. So
yeah.
Anyway, we have a good episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I think we both have come with a couple of different experiences. Do you want to start with yours?
Yeah, I can start.
Okay.
So my first one, and I mean, I don't have like a ton of experience with friendship breakups. I feel like for the most part, I hold on and maintain friends pretty well. And I feel grateful because I feel like most of my friendships have been easy to maintain and are pretty low maintenance friendships and, you know, whatever. But I mean, I have had my fair share of moments. The first one that I want to talk about, it was high school.
Okay.
So it was a little while ago. But it was with someone that I really considered like my absolute best friend. Like I had like a group of friends, people I'm still friends with today, but like this person was like my absolute best friend. And it was just kind of weird because it was one summer and I remember it being like literally in the span of 1 week, I watched her go from being like my best friend to someone I had no idea like who that person
was.
Yeah. I remember like being called at work, and I worked at like a fast food restaurant. So I remember like getting like multiple calls from her mom and like going into the bathroom and being like, are you okay?
Yeah,
and
like, she would be like, what is happening?
Yeah. And she was like, have you seen this person? Like, or have you seen my daughter? Like she ran away from home. And I was just like,
and that was like so out of character for her.
So out of character. And I was just like, I have no idea. And I just started calling like all of my friends, you know, who were like in the friend group. I mean, turns out she was with one of my other friends and she was just doing things that were like totally out of character for her. Like so many things. And she did something to me that I found pretty unforgivable. And then she was also doing things to my other friends. And like I said, like her mom and like, you know what I mean? That they also found unforgivable. And I remember like we didn't really talk. I remember just being like, I do not know who this person is anymore and being like so hurt. And maybe that's like a me problem, but I was just like so hurt that she could just like literally change overnight.
Yeah.
And I remember just feeling like we were no longer like compatible as friends.
Yeah.
And she had hurt me so bad. And yeah, we didn't really talk, but she did call me like 2 days later after I had kind of decided that. Just really, really upset, in full-blown tears, just kind of telling me that like she, you know, like her life was like falling apart. She like really needed someone. And I just remember kind of like making the very selfish decision to be like, I can't do this right now. You know what I mean? Like,
do you feel like in that moment you felt like you would be kind of enabling her behavior if you were just like, okay, yeah, like we'll go back to normal. Like, I mean, do you feel like that would have not helped her to like turn her own life around.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I just really remember just being like, I literally told her, like I said the words, like, I don't know who you are anymore. And like, you need to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah.
Because like, I can't like sit here and watch you like hurt everyone around you and let you hurt me. And yeah. That was like so out of pocket for me to like cut off a friendship like that.
Yeah.
Super out of pocket. But, and it's so funny, like thinking back to it, because I'm like, oh, like, was that rude of me? Like, she called me like really in a time of need, but like, yeah. Sometimes like you really just have to do what is best for yourself.
Totally.
You know?
Yep.
So that was probably, one of my bigger friendship breakups. And I mean, to this day, like her and I, like we're on good terms now. I think like because I was so upfront with her, and could just like kind of tell her how it was, like she is able to like still have a good relationship with me and like has respect for me.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know what I mean? Enough to like talk to me every once in a while or whatever. But
yeah.
And I had a lot of love for her and I still do. And it was just like a really crazy time.
Yeah.
My second one is like totally different. But this was also someone I would have considered like one of my best friends. But she was a little younger than me.
Okay.
Okay. So I ended up dating David and getting married and everything seemed kind of like, it seemed fine.
Yeah.
But she would start asking me to like do things. And I was only with David for 6 weeks before he left to basic training when we got married. Mm-hmm. Okay. So like not very long. But she would ask me to, you know, go do something with her. And I would be like, oh, like I can't do that. I have plans tonight, whatever. And she would ghost me for, you know, weeks at a time. Like I just would not hear back from her. And it got really hard for me once David left to basic training, because that was a time in my life when I like really desperately needed support from my friends. And it was just a really, really hard time for me. Yeah. I'd never experienced anything like that. And so it was really hard for me that I felt like she knew that and was not showing up for me and would not respond to me and couldn't be there for me.
Because she was just mad about the fact that you couldn't hang out.
I mean, honestly, like...
very petty.
I felt like it was, yeah, very petty and almost like really jealous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so basically she would reach out to me whenever she felt was convenient again. And she would, you know, again, ask me to do something. And if I couldn't do it, she would ghost me again for months at a time, weeks, months at a time. And I wouldn't hear from her. And finally, one day I just decided like, okay, like this friendship is one-sided and it's no longer serving me. And I decided to just ghost her.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was like the right thing to do. Still to this day, I feel like it's fine. Like I have the closure I needed.
So you haven't talked to her since?
No, not really. A couple times. But, you know, just over like random things. It's been years and years since that happened.
But there's never been like a situation where you've been like, oh, this is like what happened. And you guys
haven't confronted it.
It's just kind of like was a little pushed under the rug. Like you ended the friendship, but it was like there was never a conversation of like, this is why I was hurt and this is why I can't be close to you.
No.
Yeah.
So like, the first one I talked about, there was definitely a conversation. The second one was more of just like a ghosting situation. And I felt totally fine about that. You really learn who your true friends are when you really, really need them. Like I said, like when David was gone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the people who don't show up for you, they really just like show you their true colors.
Totally.
And so that's how I felt with her. I was just like, okay, well, you literally cannot be here for me in a big time of need. And so, you know, our friendship just feels super one-sided to me.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of friendship, like, is that
silly things too.
Well, yeah, but it
not like being friendship, able to hang out, like what?
Yeah, like adult friendship just cannot be one-sided.
No,
it just cannot be. No. So anyway, those are my friendship breakup stories.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah,
both of those were like different, but really hard. And like interesting too, that like the first time you like kind of had that conversation, the second time you didn't, and I think it just goes to show that like, it's just very situational, and I think it just depends on the person. Like, you know, with the first person, you felt like you could do that, and the second person, it almost kind of seems like you didn't really feel like she really deserved that energy of going through a friendship breakup. Because going through a friendship breakup is emotionally exhausting. And if you don't really have any more like emotion or energy to give, like, yeah, kind of seemed like that was the better route for that. Especially considering that you were emotionally exhausted having your husband gone. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I just, so to this day, like, I don't feel like I like needed so much closure. You know, yeah. I just felt like the friendship was just kind of fizzling out. Like we were at totally different places in our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, wanting to do different things. And I was just like, okay, like, I don't know that we are compatible any yeah. longer as friends.
Yeah.
And obviously all I do is piss you off.
Yeah.
And you ghost me every second.
So, like, what's the point of that for either of us?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only really ever had like one big friendship breakup because mm-hmm. I just, like I've talked about in the friendship, our first friendship episode, like I didn't really make like good girlfriends until more recently. Aside from like my best friend from hair school. But we're still going strong 10 years later. Love you, Amanda. but yeah, like I just haven't really had that many girlfriends. But yeah, this past year, I think it's kind of like what you just touched on. Like it's just become very apparent for me because I've been going through a really difficult time. It's just become very apparent to me like who shows up for me and who like really cares about me. And so I think as a result of that and other things, like I went through a friendship breakup with a friend and it was really hard because this friend was like the first like real like mom friend that I had made mm-hmm. that was outside of like friends I've made through Vince, like yeah. Vince's friends' wives.
So it was like your own.
It was like thing. my first like own friend,
yeah.
you know, that was a mom friend. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we became.
Not you dissing me.
Well, you weren't my mom friend at the time. You don't even have, okay. you literally didn't even have Rowan. I think you maybe were pregnant. Yeah, because it was Vivi's. It was, yeah. Yeah, I think you were pregnant. Yeah. But again, like I met you through Vince. You know what I mean? Like this is like my first like.
Just kidding.
Yeah, my first friend I made all on my own. But anyway, yeah, we were like really fast friends and everything. And I just, there were multiple circumstances over, especially in the first year of our friendship that I was just like really taken aback by and like really hurt by. And, you know, we really didn't discuss those things until like this last year. This last year, we became a part of the same friend group. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, it just, there were some, being a part of a big friend group is really interesting. There's, the dynamics are very interesting. It's a special thing. Yeah. And I think it just kind of puts a magnifying glass on your individual relationships with each person in the group.
Yeah.
Because you get together as a group and you can immediately tell who is closer to who.
Yeah.
And that type of a thing. Okay. Which at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who's closer to who, but I think it can rub people the wrong way or hurt feelings or that type of thing, cause drama or whatever. But anyway, I think because now we were kind of in this same like big friend group, I just kind of felt like I had been holding on to those things and they like were things that needed to be discussed. So brought them up on like two separate occasions. And I just expressed like the hurt that I was feeling. And I just felt like I was met with like no real accountability or like true apology. It was always just kind of like, well, I've been going through a hard time. So, like, you know,
mm-hmm, just doesn't really care.
That's kind of what it felt like. Yeah. It really felt like they just really didn't care about what I was saying and that they had like harder things going on yeah. in their life or something. But for me, I'm like, this is my best friend. So having a riff with my best friend is like a big thing.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, so that happened. And then we like continued on in the friendship, even though I was like, still didn't feel like things were resolved, which that is very hard for me. I've realized through this is when I don't feel like things are resolved, it is really hard for me to like move on.
Yeah. Just move past it, act like yeah. everything's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I just have like no ounce of like, I don't know what the word is, but like, it's just like very hard for me to be like disingenuous.
Yeah, you just can't like bullshit it.
I can't. I wish, honestly, I wish I could sometimes, yeah. but I can't. And so it was just really hard for me. And then there was a situation earlier this year that I just feel like something was going really well for me and something really exciting was happening. And I just felt like this person did not show up for me to support me or congratulate me. And so again, I was really hurt by that. And I, you know, kind of brought that up. And again, it was just kind of the same thing. I just felt like there was no real resolve. And so for me, I felt like after that, I like mentally and emotionally checked out. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of like, I have exhausted so much into this. I have, you know, even though I am a more confrontational and upfront person, it is still so hard for me yeah. to approach those conversations.
With the right person, it's hard.
Yeah, yeah, it's so hard. And so I'm just like, it took so much for me to be able to do that, that like, anyway, I just was over it, honestly. And so then I was talking to my sister, who's a therapist, and I was just kind of like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I talk to this person and kind of confront it again, even though I've already done that, or do I just let it fizzle? Like, mm-hmm. and how do you let it fizzle with someone you've been friends, like that close of friends with for so many years? Like, how do you just let it fizzle?
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know, right? Chelsea, give me tips. You know, and so my sister, you know, from just her point of view, she just said, you know, a lot of times it's better to give people closure, even if like it may hurt them, you yeah. know? And so I kind of like ran with that. And I, yeah, basically her and I had a conversation. And again, I kind of expressed things that were bothering me. And this time though, I wasn't looking for an apology. I was just letting her know that like I could no longer participate in this friendship mm-hmm. and that I was still cheering her on from afar. And that was so hard. It definitely disrupted the friend group. It definitely put all of my relationships just kind of at a standstill for a minute. And then I felt like I had to have a conversation with every person. And it just was a lot of drama. It was a lot of drama.
Yeah. I feel like when you're in a friend group and then two people kind of end their friendship, it's like people start to take sides.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even though like we had said, like, we don't want anyone to like take sides. I don't know like just, what like, has been
that way, though.
Said about me, but like, yeah, it, yeah like I just felt like it just kind of happened, you yeah. know? And now I feel like I'm actually in a really good place with most members of the friend group. And like, I feel like time has passed and like, I've, like I said, I've had like multiple conversations with them as well. And I feel like it's better with the majority. Yeah.
You're like, it'll never be the same.
It will never be the same, but I'm just focusing good. On like those individual friendships rather than, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, like at the time I had unfollowed this friend on like social media, I just felt like, oh, it's going to be like hurtful to see like if I'm left out of things, like even though I'm happy that we're like no longer friends, just cause I feel like it's relieved stress off of me and like it needed to happen. Like, it's still just hurtful to see. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I just don't want to see it anymore. And so unfollowed her on social media. I feel like now though, like months have passed and I do actually feel like I'm in a place where like I would want to like, you know, follow this person again, like not rekindle the friendship necessarily, but just kind of like, I don't know. It's like when someone's a part of your life for so long, like you want to like keep up with what they're doing, even if you're not super close anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to not care.
Yeah, it's hard to not care. So like, I would be like open to that, but it's just hard because I feel like there would have to be a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's just mm-hmm. kind of like, yeah, it's kind of where we're at. It was really difficult, especially this year where I just have huge things going on in my life that are so emotionally exhausting and taxing. And it just was a really bad year for something like this to happen. A really bad year. But mm-hmm. on the flip side, I just feel like I have learned to really cherish the friends that I do just feel like really understand me and show up for me in the ways that they show up for their friends best. And it's also taught me just a lot about myself and a lot of things that I need to work on. And
well, yeah, I mean, when things get hard, like this year has been hard, mm-hmm. That like really shows you like who is there for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be painful.
Yeah. I mean, for painful. Sure. But it's a good way to weed them out.
It is a good way to weed them out. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was mine. Yeah. So do we want to like jump into some to talk about our submissions?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we had asked on Instagram. Let me pull it up because there's two questions. Oh, here we go. Okay. We had asked on Instagram, what was the hardest thing about ending a friendship or like a friendship breakup, you know? And if you have a friend that you need to break up with, what is the thing that's holding you back? So we got a few good submissions. So I'll just go ahead and read.
Yeah.
And then we'll just kind of talk about it. First person says, I just recently broke up with a woman friend from a past life and relationship. She went through a nasty divorce and I went and supported her and spoke to the judge on her behalf. Her court was in Arkansas and I had a bad past relationship, and not once in the 4 days I was there did she check to see if I was okay. There was actually a time her boyfriend at the time asked her while I was on the phone with her if she was going to ever ask how I was or if she was just going to talk about herself. Very self-absorbed. And I was putting 100 into that and was just not getting anything in return. So I ended up just disappearing from her life. She didn't seem to notice after a few weeks.
Oh, that breaks my heart. Not her not noticing after a few weeks, after you flew to where? Arkansas?
Arkansas.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you can obviously tell this person is like very selfish. Like, yes. By that last sentence, and then also like the phone conversations where she doesn't even ask you like how you're doing.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean?
And honestly, that friend probably showed like signs or red flags of being selfish before that circumstance. But sometimes when you're like in it, it's really hard to see those things, you know, until it gets to the point where it's like so clear as day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hard to see those red flags sometimes.
Yeah. It can be hard. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, this is just one of those situations where it's just like one friend is so take, 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 and the other is so give, 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 and it just doesn't work. Like,
yeah.
You both have to be, both people have to be benefiting in a friendship.
Like, absolutely.
Or else there's just actually no point.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry. That is.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm glad you like had the courage to just be like, okay, and I'm done, and yeah, chose seriously. Yourself in that situation.
Seriously. Someone else says, honestly, the hardest part is seeing them live life without you, or when something big happens, like a boyfriend or a family emergency, you can't just run to them anymore. I'm going through one right now, the memories that pop up. In my opinion, friendship breakups are worse than breakups. And I can definitely agree that. I think that like, for sure, like, even the friendship breakups that I talked about, like, were harder than probably, like, 80% of, like...
Totally.
Just boyfriend breakups that
absolutely.
I had.
Absolutely.
Because friendships are, like, when they're your best friend, they're, like, your soulmate.
Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
And it's that is, like, someone that you literally tell everything to. Like, yeah. I don't even think I told any of my boyfriends everything single thing about myself, but it's like my closest friends, like, they know. You know what I mean? But
this is like, yeah. I mean, kind of what you were saying, like how you are kind of feeling like you could follow that person on Instagram or whatever. It is hard to like see someone just go on without you, or like not know like what's happening in their life after you've been close for so long.
Yeah
it's hard.
That's so hard. Hopefully you'll get some time apart and then maybe be able to like revisit a conversation or be able to follow them again, and it won't like hurt to see it, and you'll just be able to like, okay, be able to internalize it and just be like, okay, yeah, like I'm good with it. So hopefully as some time passes,
yeah,
that will be easier. I'm so sorry though, that's really hard.
It is hard. Okay, next person says, she started posting insane things online, mostly hate speech and race and sexuality, and I couldn't keep ignoring it. The hardest part was I attribute so much of my own personal growth from my Utah religious mindset to her, which is ironic because she did a 180 personality-wise. Just made me question the authenticity of our entire friendship. She tried to add me on Facebook the other day, and I took one scroll down her public posts and couldn't accept. And I mean, this is kind of like how, I mean, I felt maybe, you know, with my friend that, like I said, they just did a 180. And when your personalities like no longer match up, I mean, it's hard to be friends with that person. And I do think it's good to have friends who have different like opinions and things than you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But there are some things like if it's like race things or like sexuality, like some things are just like unforgivable.
Yeah, just it's just like lines you can't cross. Like,
yeah. So...
Yeah, I'm proud of you for holding that boundary and like not accepting the friend request, because it would have been so easy to, but it's like, it sounds like that would have just been triggering all over again. And it's like, yeah, no, that's someone you don't want to associate with anyway. So
yeah.
Sayonara.
Yeah. Someone else says, in my opinion, adult friendships are meant to be easy to maintain with a mutual understanding that our families always come first, that shit happens, but you're always there for each other, even from afar. Or at least that's what I look for. The moment it becomes a hard or uncomfortable to maintain that friendship, I just don't have time for it anymore. Or I won't make time for it anymore. Because maintaining a relationship with your spouse is already hard enough. I don't need to also be emotionally invested into saving a friendship constantly. If it's meant to be, it will be. If it's not, that's okay with me. I do hate hurting people's feelings, so that's obviously not fun. But I just love an easy, lighthearted friendship that feels like... or fills you with excitement instead of worries. I consider myself to be a ghoster if it's just not working for me anymore. I will ghost you. Is that a little embarrassing to admit? Yes, but I also don't have to take time to break up with you. I probably have to clean my house, cook dinner, and make sure my kids stay alive. And yeah. I will say this kind of aligns more so with like how I view friendships. Like I do think when you become an adult and you have a career and you have a spouse and you have children, like friendships are obviously going to be kind of put on the back burner. Not saying they're not important, because I really, really value my friendships and I really value my support system. So I feel like I do still try to put effort into them and, you know, give them a lot of time and energy. But obviously it's like, you have to put your kids first and you have to put your spouse first and your family is more important. And so it is nice to have like a low maintenance friendship where it's like, oh, hey, like you guys want to do dinner tonight, you know, whatever. Oh, you can't. Oh, that's okay. Like let's schedule for another day. But you know what I mean? It's like no guilt tripping.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah. Like so much understanding and just like being okay with it.
Yeah.
And just like being able to like, even if you haven't seen each other for like months at a time, just being able to like catch up and it's all good. And we don't have to feel like we have to see each other, at, you know, every other day to stay friends. And, you know, I mean, there's other ways you can do it. Like obviously, like Haley and I like audio message every single day. Like I don't see Haley every day, like once a week.
Right.
Literally. But we audio message like every single day. Yep. And I feel like it's just a good way to like check up on each other, make sure we're doing fine. And like that works for us.
Totally.
And, you know, sometimes people really want a friend who is constantly checking in on them or like always coming over. And I think like you can find someone else who also values that and you guys are just a good match. But I think a lot of people would value like a really easygoing friendship. Yeah.
I think like, honestly, I just think that's where it matters is finding friends that not necessarily like show up in the same exact way that you do, but just that make the same amount of effort. And that's going to look different for everyone. So like whoever submitted this, like for them, it's probably not so important that their closest friends check in on them every day. But for someone else, like that might be important. And like if they find friends that also value that, then great. You know what I mean? I don't think that necessarily makes them a high maintenance friend, a friend. I just think it makes them someone who values something different in a friendship. And so I just think knowing like what type of people you mesh with and seeing, you know, things about those people that like, okay, I can see we prioritize the same thing in friendships. I think that's what's most important. And so, yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like I can see where that person's coming from. I don't like fully agree. I do think, do like my friendships take a backseat to my marriage? Of course. Mm-hmm. But like they're really close.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like for me, there's like three people in my life that I'm like, like I would prioritize, you know what I mean? Those friendships over most things, not my kids or my husband, but over most things. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I am. You know what I mean? And I feel like my friends that now I like really have like a strong connection with, I feel like they're the same. You know what I mean? And so not that I'm like feeling called out by that message, but kind of, because I just think there's all this going around social media about like, what is a high maintenance friend? And I think it's like just a little unfair because I think it's just about more about compatibility.
No, it totally is.
Then it is about like, oh, if this person does this or expects this, like that's a red flag. It's like, well,
no, it's like what you said. It's like just, what's important to both people.
It's just a prioritization. Yeah. And so I hope whoever submitted that has all of the friends that show up for them in that way, because that would be very stressful, I feel like, for them if they have someone that's like constantly knocking on their door or feeling like they have to be an everyday friend. Yeah. That would be very exhausting, it sounds like. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, like, the people obviously who like are your closest friends, like, they just make your friendship easy. You know exactly what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to take so much effort.
Yep.
Anyway, that's just my experience. Say, like,
honestly, the people I put the most effort into in my life,
it's the easiest. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It is about,
if it's becoming uneasy and stressful, then that's the sign.
Yeah. Truly, truly.
Yeah. That was good though.
Okay. This next person says, I'm a people pleaser and hate the thought of letting people down, even if I don't like them. So yeah, I need therapy, but we're working on it. LOL. And then it says, I think the hardest thing was just knowing that I cared about this person and our friendship a lot more than they did. I tried to keep it going and show them that I loved them for a long time, even after I could tell they had given up and moved on. And that hurt to not receive love and energy back. Also, my daughter was close with her daughter, so of course my daughter is distraught over not seeing her and has cried many times over it, which breaks my heart and also fills me with so much rage.
That's so hard.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a whole other thing when you get like your kids involved. Totally. And they have like good friends through your friends.
Totally.
But I think, like, obviously at the end of the day, you have to like do what's best for you. You can't just like show up to play dates and like put on a happy face.
No.
You know what I mean? Especially when like kids are so young. I mean, maybe when they're older.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and they can kind of have their own friendship, but
right.
When your kids are so young, it's like,
yeah, it's like, no, you're mostly doing it for you anyway. So.
Yeah, you kind of have to make the call.
Yeah. Oh, that was so hard. It made me sad when they said that, like, they just felt like they cared so much more. That they cared so much more than the other person.
I feel like that happens so often. Like, we've already talked about that like multiple times this episode, is like, someone is a taker and someone is a giver.
Yep.
And maybe that can work in some situations, but I feel like
it's not going to work. Yeah. Not for a long period of time before someone gets burnt out or just is like really hurt by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so hard.
And I mean, her talking about being a people pleaser, like, I feel like so many of us fall into that category.
I think everyone does in a sense, you know, but I think some people are more so than others.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that would be really hard. I think personality trait if you're trying to save a friendship, but it's not the best friendship to save.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, ending a friendship is really, really hard.
Do you think you're a people pleaser, Chelsea?
I am a little bit of a people pleaser, but I also am not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am a little bit, but I feel like I can be pretty direct when I have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're a people pleaser?
With certain people in my life, yeah.
Okay.
There are certain people in my life that I really don't like to disappoint or ruffle feathers with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less of a people pleaser when it comes to like randos.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna like feel bad about sending my food back at a restaurant. Like, that's not my vibe. You know what I mean? Like, I paid for that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's like, yeah, with certain people in my life and with certain things, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we all can be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's hard when it's like you're a perpetual people pleaser. I think that would be really challenging with stuff like that. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, this is our last one. It says, probably watching someone else be her maid of honor and getting uninvited to her wedding when they had to make cuts for COVID regulations. You always think you'll be in your best friend's wedding, so it sucked to watch that be someone else instead. And I've read this over a few times and I just realized, so number one, you were not maid of honor, which would be hurtful if you feel like that is your absolute best friend and you feel like, you know, vice versa, you would do that for her.
Totally.
But number two, I just realized, and I don't know why I haven't realized this reading it before, but she was uninvited to the wedding altogether.
Yeah. So like you lose your maid of honor spot and
don't get to go to the wedding.
Don't even
period.
Get to go to the wedding.
Because I mean, COVID was a weird time.
Yeah.
But
it's
still.
Like, that is crazy if you consider that person your best friend. I want to know, was that just like a blindside? Like, it kind of is seeming from the message that it was like such a blindside. Oh my gosh, that must have been horrible.
Yeah. It was really sad.
Yeah. That's so hard. And honestly, I probably could never get over that, to be quite honest.
I know. Unforgivable.
I think that would be an unforgivable sin for me that I probably could not get over. Yeah, I can get over most things as long as someone takes accountability and I feel like really makes effort moving forward. But it's like, dude, That's going to be a really hard thing to get over. So, yeah. Ouch. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Haley's going to read a few friendship red flags for us.
Okay. All right. Number one, friends who constantly have drama but take no action to fix their circumstance. Okay. Also, if they are always the victim in every story they tell you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The victim one gets me. I cannot with it. That is so hard.
I know. This is like, it's giving like when you're in high school and your best friend has an abusive boyfriend and you are constantly telling her to like not get back together with her abusive boyfriend. And she says she never will, but they're back together making out the next day. And yeah, it's over like, and over and over.
I was going to say, and you don't even know till you literally see them making out. And then you're just like, what the fuck? And then, yeah, they just keep doing it again and again.
Yeah. I mean, I for sure have been drugged through a situation where this person was very much so mentally, physically, emotionally going through it. Mm-hmm. And I was so invested and so there for them just for them to like go back to someone. Do you know what I mean? And it's,
did that feel like kind of a betrayal to you? Yeah.
It's crazy because it shouldn't, but yeah. It so did because mm-hmm. I felt like I put so much mental energy. Investment into yeah, it. Yeah,
totally.
So yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's so hard. Okay, number two, when there is consistently one-sided effort, which we've talked mm-hmm. about, if you are always the first one reaching out, trying to make plans, showing up or making sacrifices, and they are not.
This is giving, like, if he wanted to, he would.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Honestly, absolutely. I literally have had so many times where I'm like, I hear someone complaining about something like this, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, well, screw him then.
Yeah.
Like, and I know it's like, it's easier said than done, mm-hmm. but it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, no, truly, if he wanted to, he would.
Yeah.
We're going to go by that motto when it comes to that here on out. Number three, when there is competitiveness, jealousy, or a lack of support for you when something is going right. If you aren't excited to tell your friend something because it makes you nervous, they won't give you positive energy back. That is a red flag.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of like, I feel like what you were talking about in your friendship breakup. Like, your friend should be excited for good things going on in your life and vice versa.
Yeah.
And there should be like no jealousy. And that's such an interesting thought that like you would be scared to tell them something positive mm-hmm. that's happening in your life. You know what I mean? Just because of maybe like the way they would react, or like you don't want to make them feel bad. Like you shouldn't have to feel like you're making them feel bad for your successes.
Yep.
So
yeah, exactly. And honestly, when I was doing research on this episode on TikTok, that was like the number one thing that people said was a red flag. So I think a lot of people deal with that in friendships.
Yeah,
in
friendships. You know, it's like an insecurity issue with the other person, but it is hard.
It usually says more about them than you, but still not fun, nor should you have to deal with that.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, if your friend is gossiping to you about another friend that they know you are close to, mm-hmm. they are typically trying to draw a wedge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would be like if I was chatting with Chelsea about one of her best friends and like gossiping, but like I wanted to be close to that friend too. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's giving like, I want to kind of sabotage your relationship with mm-hmm. that person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and I think a healthy amount of gossip and venting is necessary in life. I really do. Sometimes it really is better just with your spouse. Like, that can be a great person to vent about friends to. But
also, sometimes they're not given enough.
However, sometimes you need female energy.
Mm-hmm.
You need that female energy. You need that validation. And oh my gosh, I have a friend who, when I was going through my friendship breakup, she would constantly remind me, oh my gosh, Haley, like, look at it from this point of view. Like, because I would still try to rationalize things. No, like, she'd be like, no, you gotta see it from this point of view. Like, not okay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we kind of need that sometimes from our friends. And so I think a healthy amount of gossip and venting is okay.
Yeah.
I just think it's situational though. And I think you just have to find the right person to vent to.
Yeah.
And make sure there's never like kind of an underlying reason why you're venting to that person, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And then the last one is they only reach out to vent or when they need something.
Oh, yeah. Of course. We've all been there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I literally had someone earlier this year send me like a 20-minute Marco Polo venting. And then I responded with like a really heartfelt Marco Polo and they just didn't respond. And I was like, what the actual fuck was the point of that? Why did I just spend that time doing that?
It is. It's the type of people where it's all about them. They get on the phone with you. You're on the phone with them for 40 minutes and they have not asked you not one question
about yourself
or how you're doing or whatever.
I can't.
We've all been there.
Yeah, you know,
they are hard personalities to be friends with. I feel like sometimes it works if you have kind of like a listening friend and like more of a talking friendship dynamic. But I think for the most part, it's like the same as like a giver and a taker type of energy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just make it all about you. It's just not.
Yep.
So, okay. That was your last one.
That was all for red flags. Okay. Watch out for them.
Okay. Well, to end the episode, and we're kind of running low on time, so we'll just answer a few. But we asked for you guys to send in situations you needed advice on in friendships.
And so, since we're apparently the experts.
We're experts, you know, so.
Just kidding. We're really not. Do not take this as medical advice.
Medical advice. Yeah. So anyway, let's answer a few. First one, how to make new ones that are actually close friends. And this is, I mean, it's hard. Like, I feel like a lot of people struggle with this as adults. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like once you leave, like, I feel like, okay, wow, I'm not articulating things very well. I feel like once you are out of school, okay, so like college, and you're not like constantly with a group of people that is like your own age or like they're introducing you to people your own age, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you're just kind of thrown out into the adult world and you have to like fend for yourself and make your own friendships, things get hard.
Yeah, totally.
And so, I mean, that's the point of your life where it's like you have to decide like, what are my hobbies? Okay, I really need to like be in tune with those hobbies and go out there and talk to people who are also in tune with those hobbies. Because right then and there, you already have something in common.
Yep.
Okay, but then you can see if your personalities vibe and, you know.
Go from there.
Go from there. I also feel like now as a mom, honestly, I make a lot of friends like through my kids.
Yeah, totally. Through their activities and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard, but I feel like hobbies, if you have kids, great. Schedule some play dates.
Yeah.
Haley has met people on the Peanut app.
Yeah.
I have tried Peanut.
Really crashed and burned.
Okay.
So, hey, well, one of them is still standing strong, but the others.
Great. Yeah. I tried Peanut. I never actually met anyone off Peanut, but I mean, trying to make friends as adults, like it is like dating almost.
Yeah. No, it really is.
So,
and I was going to say, like, once you feel like you've, you know, found someone that like, okay, I vibe with this person. Mm-hmm. I will just say like from the get-go, you really need to be looking out to see if they initiate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not like giving the same energy back, like if you are like set up a play date and they cancel and they don't reschedule with you, honestly, fuck it. Like don't continue on and pour energy into someone you don't even know. Like,
you got to take a hint.
You got to take a hint
and
you got to move on because it's just not worth it. I was going to say too, I'm a part of like my city community group and there was someone that posted and was like, hey, like today I was at the museum and like I like chatted with this mom and like I really wanted to like get her number and like hang out more, but I just like didn't have the ball. So I'm like really hoping they're on this page. Like if that was you and you like have, you know, described kind of like what they looked like, if that was you, like and you're open to having a friend, like
let's
be friends. You know what I mean? And like that probably took so much courage. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So much courage. Not that I'm like saying you should go do that, but like you do have to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't just expect friends to show up at your doorstep. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah. I mean, sadly it's not.
No.
Sadly.
They're not gonna fly in on a broomstick.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard. I feel like once you get your tribe, if you will, mm-hmm. and the people that are closest to you, like, it's just important that you put a lot of effort into that, those relationships. But it can be hard. Can be hard for sure.
As best an adult. Of luck out there. Yeah, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah, seriously.
I am closed for business for new friends. Oh. Not gonna lie.
Okay. If it happens, Haley's not accepting applications.
If it happens like organically, great. But you will not be finding me on the Peanut app. Okay. I am like, I'm scared. I have been traumatized this year. Happy with where I'm at. Scared. But best of luck to all of you out there.
That is so funny. Okay, next one. What are your thoughts/boundaries/lines regarding relationships and friendships with people the same sex as your spouse? And this one is hard because I do feel like it's like so situational. Like some guys like may not care if you have like a guy best friend, and some guys may absolutely hate that. That may be like their number one no-no. For me, like, I do have a guy best friend, and we have been best friends for like 17 years. His name's Tanner. Shout out Tanner. And when David met me, he literally told me, he was like, I literally thought that you were dating that guy when I met you because your whole Instagram was pictures with him. And you know, Tanner, it was a non-negotiable for me. Like, we had been literally, he's one of my like lifelong best friends.
Right.
And I love him so much. And he was one of my like bridesmaids. And, you know, David has like never been like felt threatened by him or
like
just anything.
Never had an issue with it.
I mean, and like, but Tanner,
I feel like it's
because
he could sense the energy. It was just like, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And Tanner is such a good guy. And like, I see Tanner like maybe once every 3 months. But like, it's always just great and fine and perfect and it's good. You know what I mean? But it's not like I'm like, maybe like it would be more of a problem if like I was with Tanner every single day. Or, you know what I mean? I don't know, but I'm just saying like, I do feel like it's like situational.
I think so perhaps. Too. And I think like you have to have a lot of like trust in your relationship and in your partner as long as they have given you reasons to trust them. And I think you just both have to set boundaries that you feel comfortable with, and also try not to be controlling though. You can't make those boundaries out of fear. You have to base them off of facts. And I just think it's going to look different relationship to relationship. And so hopefully that was helpful.
So use your common sense.
And if you don't feel comfortable with someone with your spouse hanging out with, then that should be respected. Like,
it should be. Yeah. You know what I mean? It should be vocalized and be respected. So, totally agree. Okay. Last one that we will answer. It says, my husband has always hated my best friend. It can cause a lot of issues in our relationship. I've been wondering lately if the friendship is worth the struggle in my marriage. Thoughts? And this one is hard because I just have so many questions.
Yeah, I have lots of follow-up questions for you.
Yeah, because I'm like,
is your husband like controlling?
Right. Who do like, you feel like is the bigger problem?
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way to phrase it.
I know. Like, do you feel like is your best friend just like, does he just think she's like annoying and he like just hates her,
doesn't
for
like her
no
personality
reason. And he's just like, ew, like, you know, why
do
you hang out with her, and he just like literally can't get over it type of thing? Or is your best friend like a shitty person and brings you down in life and makes you feel bad about yourself,
or
you
like
know what
trying
I mean
to draw a wedge like, between you and your husband, or like
do you feel like your husband has your best interest in mind type of thing?
Right. Or is it more of like a selfish kind of like, oh, I just don't like that person. I don't want you to surround yourself with them.
Yeah. Because I mean, I feel like it could go either way.
Yeah. So I think that, how did you say it previously? Because I think that was like the really, who is like kind of the bigger issue?
Yeah. Who do you think?
Who do you think is kind of causing the bigger uproar?
Yeah. And also like, does your husband fight with your best friend? Like, is it a whole thing? You know what I mean? I don't know. I do think, I mean, it is totally, I don't know the details, but I would say that I would definitely pick my husband over everyone in my life. So, so, I mean, maybe if your husband sucks, then maybe not, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for submitting.
Yes.
That was so nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, friendship breakups are hard, like point blank period. They're hard, but at times necessary. And like we said, like, it's good. It's good to weed out the bad ones, and it's good to have the ones that mean something you know?
Yeah.
Like, or it's good to like put energy and effort into the ones that mean something.
Yeah.
So yeah, whether you do it, like you confront the person or you ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever one. And I always, Haley and I have talked about this a lot this year, and I always, well, I've told you, I don't think like one is like really better than the other. Just like whatever one brings you the closure you need.
Yeah.
So like
what can you live with?
If you want to ghost someone, let it fizzle out. Great. If yep. you need to confront them, do so.
But if you're friends with me and you ghost me, please don't do that.
Okay. Yeah. I know. Please don't do that to me either.
Would be so hurt.
No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram. We're at 2blondes.1pod. Also give us a follow on TikTok. We're at 2blondes1pod there. Give us a rate and review on the podcast. So easy to just give us 5 stars. So easy.
Scroll down a bit.
Yeah. So
click
easy.
Five.
And if you want to be so, so generous and nice, write us a comment. Only nice ones though. But we love you guys. We hope you have a great rest of your Monday, a great rest of your week. And we will talk to you next Monday. Bye.
Bye.